thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Amos, can't you say anything other than thus saith the Lord? He'd say, no, I can't. Thus saith the Lord, to the law and to the testimonies. So this morning we're looking for a thus saith the Lord. When you find a thus saith the Lord, you find the Lord. When you find a thus saith the man, you find the man. I don't want to go toward men. I want to go toward God. A man can't wake me up, can't change my heart, but God can. And that's his business. God's business is saving souls. Unlike us, he's not looking at how much money he has in the bank. He's looking at how many souls he has in the kingdom. When we read, I, John, saw the holy city coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, that's Jesus' bank. His people are his currency. He aims to save every soul in this universe. He is not willing that any should what? Perish. So I say, Lord, save some souls this morning. Begin here with me. Great Controversy, page 665. What a sword, chapter 42 is. This chapter is designed to cut us right down to the heart. If this can't do it, nothing can. Page 665, second paragraph. Nearest the throne of God. Now, this is an interesting paragraph. Who stands nearest to the throne of God? Now, I'm not going to read it. Common sense tells you, is it the most pure, the most holy people on this earth that stand nearest to the throne of God? Or is it the dogs that have been saved as blunt brands plucked from the burning? It's the dogs like me. So somebody out there says, well, Luke Keith, you were a criminal, you were a doper, you were a hippie, you were this, you were that, you were an atheist. I say, I'll be standing close to the throne. I say, praise the Lord. Because in Luke 7:45, he which is forgiven much does what? Loveth much. So the contrast now of the kind of folks that'll be in that city. In John 13, Jesus had dirty, smelly feet. He needed somebody to wash his feet. He looks around the room, the ordained ministers of the apostolic church. How many got up? Not one. Not one. There are the basins. There are the towels. There's the water. What a contrast between the apostolic ministers and that woman that had seven devils cast out of her. Luke 7. That woman she had no basin. She had no towel. She said, I've got no water, but I've got tears. I've got no towel, but I've got hair, and I'm ready to go to work, and she went to work, and I've got an alabaster box. She gave all that she had. She found the pearl, Matthew 13:46, and when they found the pearl at great price, she sold all that she had and bought it. She broke that box, and she went to work. She did what the apostolic ministers would not do. Why? That woman had been delivered from seven devils. And then Jesus said, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then the great principle, he which is forgiven much, loveth much. And Simon looks on. What he says is, Luke 7, that woman, I don't have time to turn to it. You can go there. Luke 7, that woman is a sinner. What did Judas say? That woman is a sinner. What did Mary say? I'm a sinner. What did Jesus say? You're a saint in the eyes of God. You'll stand close to my throne. We need to see with the eyes of God and not the eyes of man. Man will condemn, God will save. Yes. Man cannot save, God will not condemn. Unless, this is the story, unless free moral agents, there's always a condition for salvation, and this is a condition. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 and 32. The Philippian jailer is ready to cut his throat. Earthquake has come, shaken down the whole prison. And Paul looks at the scene. He convinces these prisoners to stay in their cells. He jumps out of his and he says to the jailer, do thyself no harm. Verse 30 and 31, Acts 16, the jailer's response, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? And he says to that man, what must I do to be saved? That's the condition, the great if. Jesus is the great, John 8:58, I am. But the question is the great if. And the if is believe. B-E-L-I-E-V-E. Believe what? Matthew 4:4. Man does not live by bread alone, but how many words? Every word. You come to the Bible, you surrender your proud heart to Amos, Obadiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Why? Because each prophet is writing the story of a Savior that died for my sins. You got it. He's a real deal. It's a whole deal. It's all of Jesus and none of me. When you kick Obadiah out, or you kick James out, or you kick John out, you kick part of Jesus out. The Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, if that same Spirit revived the prophetic gift in the church, we call the remnant Seventh-day Adventist Church, then Great Controversy chapter 42 has something to help me today to be saved. And that's what I want. My last 26 minutes, I want some help on being saved. Mary got it. Preached the first gospel sermon. Jesus' feet was a magnet for her hair. Every time she saw that man, she threw herself down. She knew something that we need to know. In Luke 11, Jesus is coming to raise Lazarus. When Mary gets the word that Jesus is outside, she comes out, throws herself down right at his feet. If you read Revelation 4 and 5, we're going to spend a lot of time on the floor in heaven. Every time we see the Savior, we throw ourselves down, cast our crowns at his feet. That's just where I want to be. And friends, to be honest, I don't deserve to be there. I know that, and you know that. But Jesus looks at me and he says, my grace is sufficient. And I say, Lord, you must have a lot of grace because I got a lot of sin. He said, I got more grace than you have sin. I say, that's the kind of Savior I need this morning. A great man Savior. Praise God. Of course, now the Lord says, Luke Keith, you be graceful to those in the church. Some lady comes in this morning, don't condemn her, be graceful to her. Somebody spits in your face, be graceful. Pastor comes in, be graceful. Support the leadership. Pray for Elder Wilson. Pray for the conferences. Love your leaders. Love the elders. Love the head elder. Be graceful. Oh, Lord, it's so hard. The Lord says, be graceful. Don't talk about how hard it is. Talk about being a hearer and a doer. I say only by God's grace. He gives grace to be graceful. I like that. He gives grace to be graceful. Come boldly to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:15-16, that you might receive grace. Boy, I love this book. Chapter 42. We've got through two sentences. I'm sorry. The Bible's so rich, the Great Controversy, it would take us a zillion years to get through even one chapter in the Bible. If we really had an enlightened mind and could see as God sees, we would see something in the Bible that we can't see now. We see through a glass darkly. That's our Sabbath school lesson. Look through the Sabbath school lesson this morning. We see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. We're going to know some things now, then we don't know now. Great Controversy, page 665. 665, the bottom, the last paragraph. Ah, this is a tough one. This is a sword coming out of the sheath. Revelation 1:16, when Jesus comes back, in his mouth is a two-edged sword. But don't worry, that sword is to cut down the wicked. To cut the remnant church, he has a sword working now. Where is it working? Great Controversy, chapter 42. I read the last paragraph on the page, page 665, second sentence. As the redeemed have beheld the power and malignity of Satan, they have seen as never before that no power but that of Christ could have made them conquerors. So we read that verse in Jude 24, to him that is able to keep you from what? Falling. He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one. Friends, today, without Christ, we will what? Fall. And fall how fast? Fast. As fast as Peter sank in the waves. Lord, rescue me. Save me. I perish. I don't want to repeat that experience. Why not just keep my eyes on Jesus? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, the man that can walk on water. Why don't I just look at him today? I don't have to sink. Jesus said, it's your choice. I gave you eyes. I gave you free moral agency. You look where you want to look. But John the Baptist said, John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Matthew 17, they saw no man save Jesus. Hebrews 12:22, looking unto Jesus, not just the author, but the what? Finisher of our faith. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work will what? Perform it, finish it. This is the kind of Savior we need to look at. You turn your eyes on men, all you see all you see. Failure, self-praise, self-exaltation, self-seeking, self-sufficiency. That's not what I want to look at this morning. I'm taking my eyes and gluing it to the Bible and getting some grace. Next sentence. They have seen as never before that no power but that of Christ could have made them conquerors. In all that shine throng, here it is. This is the point. There are none to ascribe salvation to themselves as if they had prevailed by their own power and their own goodness. We don't say we got the victory because of our goodness, because we figure out we don't have any goodness. But I figured out Jesus is gooder than good. Ecclesiastes 5:8, he's higher than the highest. He's gooder than good. He's the goodest. He's the bestest. He's the chiefest among 10,000, the one altogether lovely. He's the rose of Sharon and the balm of Gilead. Now, in order to be changed, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and beholding, we're changed. Our choice. What are we going to look at today? You're going to Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator. You're going to all this crazy, wild, worldly music. You're going to all this, these things of the world, and you become like the world. Jesus said, your choice. Your choice. He died to give me a choice. Jesus is a gentleman, and he regards my choice, and I regard his. Jesus chose today. I would say he got up this morning, but he didn't go to sleep last night. He's been up all night. What's he been doing? Praying for me, interceding for me. Jesus said, I made my choice. My choice is to save you. Now it's your choice. You want to choose to be saved. It's really, when you boil it down to it, it's that simple. A man that desires Christ in his heart will receive 37:4 Psalms, the desires of his heart. Can it really be that simple? Acts 16:31, Paul said, believe. It's that simple. And as you read 42, chapter, great controversy, what a simple picture of salvation. Next sentence. Nothing is said of what they have done or suffered. Nothing is said of what they have done or suffered. How many are boasting that day? Romans 3:27, Paul said, where is boasting? His answer is excluded. Laodicea, as Luke, we are the boasting church. I'm rich and increased with goods, and I need what?
Nothing.
Nothing. I need no Savior. I need no Holy Ghost. I need no God the Father. I need no Bible. I need nothing. In that word nothing is comprehended everything. Everything Christ has to offer, I don't need it. It is the boasting church. Romans 3:27, where is boasting? Paul said excluded. Then he asked the question, by works, and this cuts the boasting right out of Laodicea. Well, I gave 50 Bible studies. I baptized 600 people. I got a PhD, went to theology school. I did this. I'm a rocket scientist. I've done some heart transplants. I've got $7 billion to bank. I drive a Lamborghini. I live in a six-story house. And then Paul said, wait a minute. Works, he said, nay, excluded. And then the question comes. Boasting is excluded by faith. By faith, you look to the throne of grace. Jesus is sitting on the mercy seat, and it's mercy and grace that saved me, not my ability to quote Matthew 5:5, because the devil can quote it, will never see the kingdom of heaven. The Bible is to reach the heart, not just the lips. Memorizing a whole bunch of Bible verses can leave you heart dead still. Matthew 15, verse 8, they draw nigh with their mouth. They sing, amen, glory, hallelujah. They draw nigh with their mouths. They honor me with their lips, but their what? That's it. Amen, sister. The hearts. Wow. We need a heart work. Being saved is your heart saved. That's what it is. It's having your heart saved. Lord can give you a new body, but he can't give you the new heart unless you're giving your old heart. Ezekiel 36:26, I'll take that old heart of stone and give you the heart of what? Flesh, your heart to believe. Wow, what a transaction. Stone for a, what do you call that kind of heart Jesus gives you? Stone for something, stone for gold, but that's not enough. Stone for the heart of God. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. It's a transplant. My heart for his heart. Where does it say that in the Bible? Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant I will make with them in that day, the new covenant. I'll write my law. I'll put my law where? I'll write my law in their minds. That you can be a Bible quoting scripture, quoting devil, if it's just in your mind. You can be a hearer, 7th commandment, Exodus 20, not to commit adultery, but you can commit adultery in a second, unless the law is written where?
In your heart.
Your heart.
That'd be in your heart. Once he has it down in the heart, you, Psalms 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is where?
In your heart.
In my heart. That's King David writing. And I tell you what, King David, Psalms 51, verse 10, create me a clean what?
Heart.
He got it. What did it cost David? Everything he had. It cost you everything you've got. You're not going to walk into the kingdom of heaven as a 99.9% Christian. It's either all or nothing. That's good news. That's good news. I want to be 100% Christian. I look this morning and see, well, I think I'm like 2% milk. It's no good. Lord, get me ready. The Lord said, I'm trying. I'm trying. Praise the Lord that he's not giving up on me this morning.
Amen.
Praise his name. I tell you, we've gotten through 3-4 sentences now. Now, we're pushing forward. Page 666. Page 666 of the Great Controversy. I wrote my little Great Controversy book, A Sentence from the Desire of Ages. I'm going to read something from Desire of Ages, then I'm going to read the second chapter, the second paragraph on page 666. Desire of Ages 4:15. Peter did not desire to see the cross in the work of Christ. That was the sticking point for Peter. He enjoyed eating the bread. When, you know, fed 5,000, Peter said he fed me. He enjoyed the food. He enjoyed the fellowship. But when he looked at the cross, he didn't enjoy that. Desire of Ages 4:15. Peter did not desire to see the cross and the work of Christ. Now, in my days as a hippie atheist, American version of the Rastafarian, in my left ear I had an earring. Guess what it was shaped like? The cross. Somehow the world has taken the cross and made it fashionable. Back in the days of Jesus, you mention cross to a Jew, his knees start to shake. Nothing more humiliating and painful and to be feared than being stripped naked and hung on a tree. Today, you know, cross is fashionable. 2,000 years ago, dread and shame. Peter looks at, Jesus looks at Peter, and he says, Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and pick up what?
Cross.
And Peter said, not that. Anything but that. Anything but that. Well, without that, nobody's saved. And Jesus, in the Great Controversy, chapter 42, tells us, Isaiah 63:3, I trod the winepress alone. If you think you're going to cakewalk into the kingdom of heaven, there's no way. It will be a life of struggle and strife and doing what's right by God's grace. Does that mean going against the current of popular thinking? Does that mean coming into the church, maybe looking a little different, eating a little different, administration, association, education, music, it's everything. A born-again Christian does not have his ankle out of the water. In baptism, we go all the way down and walk in, Paul said in Romans chapter 6, 4 to 6, newness of life, a new creature. Christ can only save new creatures. Got to be born again, John 3, 3. What a chapter. Now, second full paragraph, page 666. As soon as the books of record are opened, and the eye of Jesus looks upon the wicked, they are conscious of every sin which they have committed. They see just where their feet diverge from the path of purity and holiness. Now, let's get a thought here. The wicked have been resurrected. The books are open. The righteous are there. They're in the city. They've already been judged. But the wicked are judged out of the books in the presence of the wicked at the end of the 1,000 years. Two groups. One group inside the city. One group outside the city. Who will be there in that day? Everybody. You're either going to be on the outside or the inside. And those that are on the outside are not going in, and those on the inside are not going out. What we just read tells you the difference between the two groups. What made the difference? In the gulf that's fixed between the door of the holy city and the great mass of the wicked, what separates the two groups? Very simple, Calvary. The cross. Those inside the city lifted the cross. Those outside the city despised the cross. Desire of Ages 4:15, Peter did not desire to see the cross and the work of Christ. The good news is Jesus got Peter turned around, and he can turn around me.
Amen.
Sometimes I look at the sacrifice involved in the gospel, and I don't want to see it. And I say, Lord, do for me what you did for Peter. And Jesus said, I'm waiting, and I'm trying, and I'm struggling, and I'm doing it. But you've got to give me, Proverbs 23, verse 26, my son, give me your what?
Heart.
Heart. That's heart work. That's heart religion. The Great Controversy, chapter 42, it paints a picture that only the righteous would love. It's a picture of simplicity. So let's test out our hearts right now. When you get to heaven, all we do for an eternity, we build a house in the country, Isaiah 65, 21, 22. We build a house in the country. We grow some food. I love that, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The simple life. You build your house out in the country, your address will remain the same forever. In Revelation 2:17, you have a rock that has your name on it. Pet name. Nobody knows the name. You and Christ. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, a crown is laid up for me. You have a crown. You have a rock. Revelation 14, 1-4, you have a harp. Harper's harping. In heaven, I can't sing this morning, and I can't play anything. But in heaven, I'll be singing to God's glory, and I'll be playing a harp, maybe other things too. I don't know.
Amen.
So we have some simple musical talent. We have a simple home in the country. We have some simple food. We got a rock with our name. We got a crown. We got a palm branch. And we've got a heart. The heart is worth more than all the rest, because without the heart, you can't get any of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spend eternity worshiping the Lamb. I love that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
When we meet one Sabbath to another, one new moon to another, I'm going to sit on the front row if I can get in fast enough.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine going up to the assembly of the saints, hearing Jesus get up and share some things? I mean, that's anticipation week to week. What's he going to share this week? Whatever he shares this week, there's more to come next week, because heaven is not static, it is not stationary. you are growing. In fact, I'm going to the last paragraph and read that. Heaven is not static. It is not stationary. It gets better. I'm going to jump to the end. Running out of time anyway. I'm jumping to the end. Jumping over all this great treasure to get to the end. Now, here's a plain statement. The good news about heaven. Gets better every day, every week, every month, every year. How can it be? I'll read. Great Controversy, last page, page 678. Third paragraph from the end or the second paragraph from the top. As the years of eternity, as they roll. Now, God is, I guess you'd call God an old God. Daniel 7:10, he's the Ancient of Days. Psalms 90, verse 2, from everlasting to
everlasting.
Everlasting. Thou art God. Yeah. Jesus is talking there in John 8. He's talking about the descent of the children of Abraham. Then he told his Pharisees, John 8:58, before Abraham was, what did he say?
I am.
What he meant was he was the self-existent one. He's been there forever. So, do you think he's going to have some things to share with us there in our meetings?
Wow.
Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the three dignitaries of heaven. To him that overcometh, I'll give with him to sit down on my throne as I overcame and sit on my Father's throne. Get to sit on the throne. Get to watch Jesus drive the ship we call the universe. Listen as he speaks and shares, falling at his feet. That's the life of the saints. Now, I read you the next sentence. As knowledge is progressive, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. You just say, well, I can't get any happier. God said, wait till tomorrow. I can't have any more peace. Wait till tomorrow. Mark 4:39. Peace be still. More is coming tomorrow. I can't have any more love than I have, yo. You ain't seen nothing yet. As knowledge is progressive, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. The more you know, the more you know about God, the more you love Him. It's going to be a fresh revealing every day. 1 John 4:19, I love Him because He first what?
God loved
me. And it's going to be a new manifestation of love day, by month, by year. I don't want to miss that. I don't want to sell that for a six-pack of beer. How about you? And you can fill in the blank, whether it's a six-pack of beer or vanity over your education or whatever it might be, you sold your soul cheap. Mrs. White stepped into the kingdom of heaven in vision and said, heaven is cheap enough. Mm-hmm. Whatever it costs, we can say heaven is cheap enough. But whatever you sell it for, you sold your soul cheap. I don't want to sell out and be cheap this morning. I want to walk in and say heaven is cheap enough. Mm-hmm. One group outside the city, I sold my soul cheap. The group inside the city is cheap enough. And that cross doesn't look so bad then. The problem is we have to shift our perspective, change our thinking. And only God can do that for us. Next sentence. The more men learn of God, the greater the more men learn of God, the greater will be their admiration of His character. Last paragraph. We got 3 minutes left. I'm so sorry. I wish we had 300 hours, but that wouldn't even scratch the surface. Mm-hmm. John said as he closes up the gospel, all the books on this earth could not contain what Jesus did, what He said, the way He worked. We can't get hold of it. But I can get hold of this. Jesus loved me and died for me. I got to get hold of that, and the rest will get hold of me. Last paragraph, a nice way to finish. Last paragraph. The great controversy is ended. And Jesus said it is finished on Calvary, step one. Most holy place, step two. Most holy place, step three. And since step three was taken, most holy place, Advent movement, Seventh-day Adventist, what is retarding the progress of God? It's a sinner named Luke Keith sitting here in the church in Albany, just as dead trespasses and sins as a day is long. Something's got to change in the heart of Luke Keith. And Jesus said, well, I can do that. I can change hearts. Come in and go to work, Lord. Next sentence. The entire universe is clean.
in the judgment, when Jesus certifies that Lou Keith is clean, some angel might stand up. And they say, that Lou Keith, how can you certify him as being clean? Because when Jesus says, sins are blotted out, name is retained in the book of life, an angel has the right to ask this question, are you giving him a lifetime warranty? Are you saying you can bring him into the kingdom of heaven and he'll never sin again? Jesus will look and say, affliction shall not rise up the second time.
Amen.
When he puts his name over my name, when he writes his law in my heart, that's certified before the universe. I'm safe to bring into the kingdom of God. I am eternally clean. That is quite a, that's not a whitewash. That's washing white. That's a new brain and a new heart. Who can make a brain? Who can make a heart? One pulse of harmony and gladness beats through the vast creation. I'm out of time. I got 1 minute left. I'll finish with this verse. I'm standing here in the Albany Church this morning in New York. Snowed last night. It's white on the ground outside. Looking forward to a good day of fellowship. I really am. But everything hinges on one thing. Our theme this weekend is those verses from Acts 2. It looks like we're looking for some fire to dance on the skins and some spirit to work in our hearts. Everything is hinging on one thing. And that one thing is unity. Ephesians 4, 13, 14, 15, 16, the gifts of the Spirit are to bring us into the unity of the faith. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. He's not coming to divide, he's coming to unite. Now, heaven's definition of unity is not Lou Keith agreeing with the pastor or Lou Keith agreeing with Sister Pat. Definition of unity from heaven, John 17, 22, that they may be one, even as we are what? We got to come into agreement with God. That is why the Bible must take first place, foremost place, because in the Bible you have God's mind revealed. We say the Bible is the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Is Jesus the Word or the Bible the Word? Both. Because the Bible is the words of Jesus. I can't go into the most holy place this morning except by faith. But in my left hand, I have the testimony of Jesus. I have my Bible, and I have my great controversy. If I'm going into history class this morning, I'm not going into a school that uses secular history, because you get a false picture. If I'm going into a school, I don't care where I'm going or what classroom I'm in, if the great controversy is not sitting side by side with the Bible, that's not a history class. We need some historical information that is absolutely factual and accurate. Bible, Bible, Bible. You sound like a broken record. God's a broken record, not me. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible. The Bible and the Bible only. Isaiah 8, 20, sanctified through the truth. John 17, 17, thy word is truth. John 14, verse 6, I am the way of the truth. Pilate said, what is the truth? Jesus said, you could have no power unless I gave it to you. All power is given unto me, Matthew 28. So I said, this was 6 months ago on the prayer line. I said, the prayer line is a dead line unless we have the Bible. Then it's the power line. Sister Pat said, amen, it's the power line. It's the power prayer line. No power in prayer unless we're Bible-believing Christians. And then if I can take 1 more minute, Sister Dolores, are you going to run me out of town? I'm going to take 1 more minute.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sister Jasmine down there in Iron City, Tennessee, now a Tennessee hillbilly, transported from New Jersey to Tennessee. One last minute, and then I'm gone.
Sure.
You know?
Can take more than one, Brother Lou.
No. The people are calling to hear you sing, sister. I'm not going to take your time. But, you know, it's the truth. Here's the truth. Jesus said when the disciples asked him, Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Luke 11, verse 2, Jesus said, now, this is pertinent. This is present-day truth. Jesus said, when you pray, say our what?
Father.
Now, Sister Jasmine and Sister Mirbaj, I call you sister. Just notice I called you sisters. You call me brother. That's because we've got the same what?
Father.
Keep that in mind. And then, wait a minute. God had a son, John 3:16, Romans 8:32. He spared not his own son, but God, who so loved the world, gave his. We got an elder brother. He's at work up there in the sanctuary. Got an elder. What a family, huh? What a fam, man. Holy Ghost in every heart. Jesus in the sanctuary. Sends his agent to represent himself in the church this morning. The Holy Spirit. The point is to get the spirits while we're here. And the Father is orchestrating the whole plan of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. We can't lose. If God's for us, what? God's for us, what? Don't break it. I'll pray. Lord, this morning as we say brother and sister in the churches, God, help us not to be hypocrites this morning. Help us not to be stinking hypocrites in the church this morning. I just look at my brother, I say, brother. I look at my sister, I say, sister. Help me treat them like my brother and sister. Jesus looked at me and he said, son, and he treats me like his son. Jesus, my father, my brother, he's everything to me. This morning is my prayer. Thing with a spirit and understanding this morning. Bless all those that are on the line. May it be a power-filled day. When I say power, power to empty ourselves, power to have some humility, power to be meek, power to be low. We want power to go down, the power John the Baptist had. He must increase. John the Baptist wanted power to decrease. That's the power we want this morning. And I believe I'll get it through prayer. I'm asking for it. I believe I'll get it. I believe you're going to answer this prayer. Bless all the people of God. And let all the praying congregation on the line this morning say, starts with an A, what?
Amen.
May God bless you. I love you all.